Joining us this morning by phone from Minneapolis is Dan Swam. In the interest of full disclosure, Dan's a friend of mine from my years in the Twin Cities. Now, a little bit of background. Dan's grandmother, Elsie, was born an American citizen in 1891 in Skibo Township, St. Louis County, about 8 miles east of Hoyt Lakes. She passed away in 1926 at age 35 of complications after childbirth. She's buried in Lakeview Cemetery along Highway 61 in Two Harbors. This natural-born U.S. citizen died as a woman without a country. This is a story that is surprising in the 21st century, but the story may be far more common than we think among families in the Minnesota Arrowhead region. How did you get interested in your grandmother's story?
Well, it was actually a historical oddity, and I was doing some genealogical research on my grandfather, and I requested some documents from Iron World, who has a genealogical center up on the Iron Range in Chisholm. And one of the forms in the packet of documents was called the Alien Registration and Holdings Form, which was something that during World War One, anybody who was a foreign-born, non-naturalized immigrant had to fill out to make sure that they weren't shipping Lutefisk off to the Kaiser or anything like that. And my grandmother had to fill one of those out, despite the fact that she had been born an American citizen. And so I got curious, and I started to, pull on the string, on the ball of string to see where it led, and it led into some very interesting and odd and unfortunately sexist and unjust places.
Okay, what happened?
Well, what I found out was that back in 1907, the 59th Congress passed a law called the Expatriation Act. And that law was basically a compilation of a number of different naturalization laws that the United States that states had had, and the Congress codified those. And it was a real nasty little racist little piece of work that was aimed at preventing immigrants from Asia and from Europe from marrying American men. And what it did was it said that if you were a U.S. citizen, a woman, and you married an immigrant, your citizenship was then forfeit. Today, I mean, it seems absolutely, bizarre, but back in the temper of the times, apparently it was, no big deal.
So your grandmother, Elsie, what happened?
And so, when my grandmother, Elsie, married my grandfather, who was an immigrant from Sweden, her citizenship was forfeit. So she essentially became a woman without a country, despite living up in the North Shore region. And this was, I would assume, common at the time, common throughout the country, mm-hmm. and probably particularly common, in the Arrowhead with the influx of immigrants to work on the in the fishing industry, in the lumber industry, on the Iron Range. I had no clue that such a law existed.
So then when she married your grandfather, Carl, and lost her citizenship, what happened next?
Well, I'm sure for them, nothing. I mean, their life just kind of went on as it was. Women back then did not have the right to vote. They were not wealthy people, as probably most people were. So there was no, there was no real economic impact, other than the fact that she had to fill out that form in 1917. I don't think it really had a lot of impact. But historically, looking back as somebody, 80 years ex post facto here, somebody who is unfortunately overeducated and has a little too much time on their hands to start looking at these things, it became clear to me that this was a completely unjust and uncalled for law, and that it must have had a very rude impact for many people to find out that, hey, I was born an American citizen, but, I lost it.
Did your grandfather try to become a citizen?
Yes, he did, and that would have solved the problem if he would have done that. He applied, he filed what was called declarations of intent, and then back in those days you had to go through a get references, go through a citizenship board and whatnot, and he tried, but he was denied because of his conscientious objection to military service. If he would have joined the military or submitted to the draft, he would have probably had his citizenship would have then been granted, and Grandma would have gotten hers back. But it was just one of those quirks that he was a man of conscience, and the whole series of events kind of unfolded from there.
She passed away in 1926, correct?
Yes, she did. Because what happened was after the suffragettes got women the right to vote in 1920, a lot of the most egregious parts of the Expatriation Act were addressed in 1922 with the passage of something that was called the Cable Act, and it tried to undo a lot of the codicils of the 1907 law. But unfortunately, what the Cable Act also did was it maintained that for women, their citizenship remained contingent on their spouse's eligibility for naturalization. So if a husband could not be naturalized for any reason, that woman, even if she was a citizen, was still, and the word that they used was denationalized, for wedding the man that was ineligible for citizenship. Or they had another choice, which was they could get a divorce, and then that woman would have had her citizenship restored as well. So basically, they were caught between a rock and a hard place.
And this is something that you just found out as you were researching the genealogy of the family.
This is something that I found out. I am not an academic or a historian by any means or matter of fact. I'm just somebody who was doing family research and found this and just kept going and trying to figure out why this was going on, because it seemed unjust and not right.
Now, have you run across any other Minnesota families whose ancestors have fallen under the Expatriation Act?
Well, I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they said, boy, I think that probably happened in my family. Similar kind of circumstance. But then when her grandfather got citizenship, her grandmother's citizenship was probably, restored. So I would assume this was something that happened with regularity. Now, I don't know if the government, sent out a letter or any kind of document to people. I would doubt it. I think it was just a law that my guess would have been that the other parts of the law were around holdings and whatnot were probably pretty loosely enforced, except, if it became an issue. So, but I really don't know, but I would assume that this had some kind of impact for a lot of families up on the North Shore.
Now, the Expatriation Act was finally done away with by the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1940. Did that have any effect on Elsie posthumously?
No, it did not. That was one of the unfortunate things, and that's what, and that also was a concern, because between 1907 and 1922, when the Cable Act was passed, all of the people that were not then, the Cable Act provided a partial reprieve. Unfortunately, one of the pieces of the Cable Act was there was a 14-year wait between the time that the act was passed and then in 1936, people could start being repatriated. And then the 1940 Act basically did away with all of those things in the past. And so moving forward, none of the more egregious immigration policy issues have moved forward from there. But for women like my grandmother, and probably the grandmothers or great-grandmothers of other folks up there on the North Shore, those people who died essentially expatriated.
Are you working to make amends for Elsie?
Yes, I am. And that's something that I really think that we need to look at. The country really did these people a grievous wrong. And one of the things that I've done is I visited with the constituent services representatives at Senator Al Franken's office and told them Elsie's story. And they were very gracious and said that the story of these women was certainly compelling and said they would look into it. People in your listening audience think that this is something that should be followed up on. I'm sure Senator Franken's office would be more than willing to field their calls.
We've been talking with Dan Swam of Minneapolis, whose grandmother, Elsie, lost her American citizenship under the Expatriation Act of 1907. He's working towards the U.S., making amends towards her and others who lost natural-born citizenship under the act. Now, given the high number of immigrants who came to Cook and Lake counties in the late 1800s and early 1900s, it's not unlikely that there are other women who have suffered the same fate when they married the love of their lives who came from another country. If you know of anyone in your family who went through this, please contact me at WTIP@boreal.org, because we're interested in following up on this. Also, Dan had a piece in the Star Tribune on Sunday morning last in the opinion section, which will give you more details about his grandmother, Elsie. Dan Swam, thank you for joining us today with a very, very interesting story.
Thank you, Roger, and good day to all the good people up on the North Shore.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.